I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, as the race for the White House tightens, both parties are intensifying their efforts to register voters and get them to the polls. How do they do it? Who are they targeting and why? We'll talk about that in just a few minutes with a bipartisan roundtable. But first.
So it's my privilege to proclaim the 2008 Republican National Convention in session and call it to order.
That was Robert Duncan, the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He's known as Mike Duncan. He's held the position since January 2007, but his political resume includes serving on the campaigns of five presidents, from Richard Nixon to George W. Bush. Mr. Duncan's with us now from his office. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michelle. Good to be with you.
We had a chance to visit briefly at the Republican convention earlier this month in St. Paul, and this is some of what you said.
Well, this convention is setting the stage for John McCain to make his case to the American people. After this convention, we only have about 60 days until the election. This is the latest convention in history, and we believe that we're going to have the wind to our back, and we're going to be able to sprint those final 60 days.
Now, I asked your counterpart, Howard Dean, this question. I'd like to ask you, are these conventions, these four-day extravaganzas, still worthwhile?
Well, conventions are important for lots of different reasons. The first is a legal reason that you have to nominate the president and vice president of the United States. Of course, that wouldn't take 4 days to do. We could do that probably in 2 days. But there are other things, bringing like-minded people together to talk about the principles of the party. We have our platform report that's extremely important. We also want to make sure that we see future stars of the party. And you saw a lot of people on the stage at the convention who will be future stars. And we also recognize stars from the past. It's just a great time to bring people together and talk about the principles of the party.
We have less than 60 days now to the election. You said that the wind is at your back. Is it still at your back and why?
Well, with about 48 days to go, it is. And I think we were strategically positioned with our convention. The Democrats chose first, and they chose a date that would have put us in competition with the Olympics had we gone before them, or we would have gone all the way back in July. So we made the choice to have the latest convention in history this time, and I think that was a good decision because the party in power normally goes second, and we did that, and we believe that we had a stronger bounce coming out of our convention, which was one of the goals that we had, and with 7 weeks left, we think it was a great decision for the party.
Both parties have sharpened their messages in the days since both conventions. They're both coming out with new political ads. Now, Karl Rove, who, of course, is the former deputy chief of staff to George W. Bush, who's called the architect of the president's two successful campaigns, had this to say when he was interviewed by Chris Wallace on Fox News last Sunday.
Both campaigns are making a mistake, and that is they are taking whatever their attacks are and going one step too far.
Fair game. What is McCain doing that goes a step too far?
McCain has gone, in some of his ads, similarly gone one step too far and sort of attributing to Obama things that are, you know, beyond the 100% truth test.
What do you think about that, Mr. Duncan? Do you agree that both campaigns are going too far? And does it concern you that John McCain's campaign, since he's your candidate, is compromising his reputation for being beyond, you know, petty partisan politics?
Well, the day that John McCain became the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, we sat in my office and we talked about the kind of campaign that he wanted to run and that I wanted to run. And that was a campaign of big ideas. And we'd been doing that. And we had hoped that Barack Obama would kept his word and attended the town hall meetings that we proposed. At one point, Obama said, anytime, any place, and we proposed 10 different town hall meetings. I suspect that the discourse level of the campaign would be a little bit higher had he done that. American people would be able to judge the two candidates face-to-face more times than the debates that we have upcoming. And in politics, when you're attacked, you have to respond. And I don't think the Obama campaign knew what to do with Governor Palin when she became the vice presidential nominee, and I think they struggled. Their candidate for vice president, Joe Biden, said that she was prettier than him. And then they had another spokesman who talked about she would do what she was told. And they attacked her for being a small town mayor. And I think it's thrown them off their game, and it's shown in the last 2 weeks.
But you think that it's within the boundaries of appropriate discourse?
I think responding to attacks in politics is something that we all have to do, and making sure that there's a distinction between the two candidates and the two parties are something that's the responsibility of the campaigns and the parties to do.
There's a column by David Brooks in the New York Times this week that suggested it just isn't wrong, that it is entirely legitimate to ask about Sarah Palin's qualifications. What do you think? Do you think it's sexist to ask about her qualifications?
I think Sarah Palin has excellent qualifications. I think she's been an executive officer of a county. She's the chief executive officer of a state. And I think her qualifications are out there for everyone to see every day. I want to talk about the qualifications of Barack Obama. I want to talk about the fact that when he was in the state legislature, that he voted present 130 times as opposed to voting yes or no. I want to talk about the judgment that he has and that Joe Biden has also exhibited on foreign policy over a short period of time for Obama and a long period of time for Joe Biden. I think that people's qualifications do come into play.
Do you think that you can look the American people in the eye and say she's really the most qualified person to lead this country if something should happen to John McCain from your party?
I can say that Governor Palin is qualified to lead this country. She's qualified to be president of the United States. She's an executive decision maker. She's worked her way up in government. She's made more decisions in a short period of time than anyone in the United States Senate has been able to do.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Mike Duncan. He is the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and we're talking about the race for the White House. Can we talk about you for a minute?
Absolutely.
Why did you want to be RNC chairman? Seems like rather a thankless job in some ways.
Well,
either party, not just the Republican Party, either party.
In November of 2006, when I agreed to take the job, there weren't a lot of people lined up wanting to be RNC chairman. But I've been involved in party politics for a long time. I started in politics when I was 9 years old. I had an uncle who ran for superintendent of schools, and I went with him all summer. I watched the Republican and Democrat convention that summer. I got involved in my community. I ran for student office in high school and college. And it's been a way of life for me. So it's something that I've enjoyed for a long period of time.
In your bio, you call yourself a civic capitalist. What does that mean? Is that kind of like a community organizer with a bigger budget?
Well, when my wife and I decided to go back to Appalachia and go back to her hometown, one of the things that we agreed was to spend at least one day a week doing things that we wanted to do for the community. And sometimes that's taken on more than a week. I've taken periods of time to work in political campaigns or to serve colleges, or I actually worked at the White House for a period of time. She's worked with her church. Of course, there have been different projects she's had over the years. So we believe in giving back to the community. We think that's an important part of what you do in America.
Besides politics, your career has been in banking. In light of the current mess on Wall Street, much of which is being sort of driven by the financial institutions, do you have some thoughts about this, why this is happening, and how prepared is John McCain to tackle this, given that he's acknowledged that economics is not his strong suit, and he has never run anything either? He has no executive experience either, certainly no experience in business.
He doesn't have the business experience, but he does have executive experience. You know, he commanded a large strike force when he was in the service, and I think if you go back and look at the number of men that he commanded during that period of time and the number of decisions that he had to make then, you would understand that he does have executive decision. I come at this from a Main Street as opposed to a Wall Street standpoint, and I believe that's the same place that John McCain is. I had a chance to watch his read his remarks, where he talks about he wants to shake things up. He wants to end the corruption and unbridled greed and reckless conduct that he perceives has been going on Wall Street.
But what experience can you point to in his background that would suggest that he has the experience to address these particular issues at this time?
Over a period of time, he's shown the judgment to say, wait a minute, we've got to do something about this. 2 years ago, he stood up to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and said, we've got to stop this. We've got to understand what these instruments are that are being put out there. We've got to make sure that we know what Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are doing. And he's shown that throughout his congressional career, that he's been ahead of his time. He's been a maverick. You know, he was ahead of his time on campaign finance. He was ahead of his time on selecting judges. He was part of the Gang of 14. Time after time, John McCain has shown the judgment to lead this country.
Going back to the conventions, many commentators, ourselves included, noted the lack of diversity among the delegates. The percentage of African-American delegates was at a 40-year low. This is another question I ask of Howard Dean. Given that the U.S. Census figures released last month show that whites will become a minority in the U.S. by the year 2042, that's about 8 years earlier than expected, how does the Republican Party plan to adapt to this new reality? And does the lack of diversity at the convention suggest that maybe you're a step or two behind.
Michelle, it's something that I work on every day. Obviously, it's something I'm concerned about. We have a robust outreach effort at the RNC, but I found over a period of time that you have to do this one person at a time, one community at a time, and one day at a time, and we're doing that. We're recruiting African-American and Latino candidates, Asian candidates all over the country, and you're not seeing them in high-profile races this time the way you did in 2006, but you're seeing them at local levels, and this is how you have to build the party over a period of time, and we're committed to that, and it has to be an ongoing, sustained effort.
What's your message, though? I mean, given that the Democrats do have an African-American who they've nominated for this country's highest office, what do you say to that?
Our message is one of hope and opportunity. Our message is that over a period of time, give us a chance and we will earn your vote. We're a party that understands the role of government, that government is there to protect you. We understand individual responsibility. We understand why we have to have a strong national defense. We understand that African-American and Hispanic businesses are started at a much higher rate than anyone else in the country, and that we've got to help put together an economy that fosters those small businesses in the country. Give us a chance.
And I have to ask you this, and I hope you'll be straight with me, because this is an important question.
Okay.
I know you're a Kentucky native and a graduate of the University of Kentucky. Your school is known for basketball, but the football team is 3-0. Any chance they can shock the nation and go undefeated?
I think we have another bowl game in our future. 3 in a row.
3 in a row. Okay.
You have to go back to the early 1950s, late 1940s to find something like that in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, are you like a cockeyed optimist or?
I am very optimistic, yes.
All right. Mike Duncan is the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He spoke to us from his office. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle. It's good to be with you.